RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Okay, I'm reading from a News Hub story in this case, dated the 10th of this month. Australia's hardening stance on 501 deportees devastating, a detainee says. A woman facing possible deportation from Australia says it's devastating the country's hardening its stance on people like her. So in 2022, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese promised his government would stop deporting people with criminal histories who'd spent most of their lives in Australia but were New Zealand-born and unable to become Australian citizens. But a new directive from Australia's Immigration Minister Andrew Giles announced Friday effectively reneged on that promise, stripping back the directive to give more weight to a person's ties to Australia before deporting them. The Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, has criticised the move, saying the changes are wrong. Philippa Payne from the advocacy group Route 501 has slammed the Australian government's decision, calling it a political move. There were people in detention centres for crimes like graffiti and shoplifting, she said in the story, and pointed out the treatment New Zealanders in Australia received compared to Australians in New Zealand. We've been structured out of Australia's social service system for years now, and our people have had no support in a country that continues to want us to come into it. She has a message for anyone thinking about moving or travelling to Australia. And Philippa Payne joins us to talk about this. Thanks for coming on our radio station.
Thank you for having me.
What is your message to New Zealanders?
Don't go.
Don't go.
Australia would be the last place that I would recommend anyone to move to, let alone travel on a holiday. You are vulnerable, you are at risk, and do not enter their shores.
But we are kin, aren't we?
Well, I'm sorry, but our big brother is causing major damage to the entire Pacific.
And you say it's a political move. That's the quote in there.
Of course, it's the election coming up. I think it's 7 months to the Australian election. This government did the right thing by bringing in Section 99, which allowed for the ties in Australia to become more of a consideration and the primary point in an appeal, and now they've repelled that. And it's purely because of public pressure. And I say that public pressure is coming from people who are ignorant and who are choosing to have willful blindfulness on the damage that their country and their government is causing on thousands of people every year.
How can you make the argument, because this is what I've heard, that a lot of the 501s had been in Australia for a long time, many from kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So surely, how can you say that Australia has not been, right at the centre of the people they've become, and they've got to take responsibility for that?
Absolutely. Majority of these people are a product of Australia. They're a product of their community, of the schooling, of the social commitments that they've had there. And yet Australia irks that responsibility at every chance and is pitting people that have gone through hard times. There may have been some offences. There may not have been. There are plenty of innocent people that are in detention centre. Today we had an article in our paper about the fact that it's a 3-year process once someone gets charged and they could be found innocent after that 3 years. That same process is put in place in the detention centres.
So what is the criteria, the threshold for being dropped, kicked across back across the Tasman? I mean, what do you have to do? Is there any threshold at all?
There's three main categories under Section 501. There is association, who you are associating within the community. There is 12 months, a cumulative sentence, so any sentences over a lifetime that accumulate to over 12 months. Now, that could be alcohol rehabilitation, that could be community service, that doesn't have to be incarceration, anything that the court has ordered. And the most important part that I would like people to take hold of in that aspect is that was retrospective. So when they made these amendments to the laws in 2014, they put in a retrospective part to this legislation so that people who had committed offences 20, 30 years ago and had not committed any offences and have rehabilitated were now being placed in detention for crimes from years ago. And of course, the last bit is the character test.
Right. Well, besides political, is it an actual political issue? Because I know that there were those, 150 that we heard about recently in news reports who had been let out into the community and some had caused mayhem. Has that been driving this issue? Is that part of it?
Oh, there's so many components that drive this. There's so many different areas. But the 150 that were released was because it was deemed that indefinite detention was breaching human rights laws internationally. So they were released, which they should never have been held in the first place. So the Liberal Party that is now in opposition are the people that implemented those laws and those legislations breaching people's human rights. And then the Labor Party came out and did what was right. And now they've gone backwards through public pressure.
But is there real public pressure? Is it a perceived public pressure? Is it something that you can get on the news with every night and sort of bang away on? Are people, the Australian public actually concerned?
I honestly believe that it is a media perceived public pressure, that a lot of people in Australia aren't even aware of the situation. And if they are, they've only been aware by the glorified news and what I call media porn. You know, let's get in on the dirtiest, let's get in on the grittiest, let's show the absolute worst, when I can tell you that I have sat in front of people who have been proved innocent and still being deported from Australia.
So would that be a media beat-up's a bit lightweight? A media is a kind of storm that's been generated by them?
I think Australia's media storm is quite prevalent and quite relevant a lot of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. On many issues, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we look at something else that was published in our paper today about the Mama Hooch, you know, let's not forget that these two people that are one of the most serial offenders in New Zealand are Australian. Now, we're not deporting them because they have lived in New Zealand for over 10 years and they've gained residency. Australia wiped all of that. So they're not giving the same balance to each other. I truly believe that the Trans-Tasman Travel Agreement needs to be wiped and it needs to be redone, renegotiated.
Okay. I'll ask you how that should be redone. Our Prime Minister, as I mentioned earlier, has criticised the move, saying the changes are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Is that strong enough? Is that strong enough for the impact that's coming in our country? At the end of last year, we had 3,200 people that had been deported to New Zealand already from Australia. What are we going to do when it's 10,000? Because that's what's going to happen.
Well, some people would say, Philippa, and I would probably say, stick it. It's your problem. End of story. If they come over here, we're sending them back.
Well, you know, if we take...
But they never say that. They never say that.
Well, we've got a Trans-Tasman Travel Agreement means that we're bound to take people that have been placed through the removal process back in New Zealand. Currently, Tonga... people that have Tongan nationality are the second highest people held in indefinite detention in Australia because Tonga is not actually taking people back. And if they are, like for 4 years they didn't take anyone back. Then they've slowly started to take people, allow people to be removed to their shores, but only under certain conditions, only if they've got a house that they can say that they're going to be lodging in.
Right. Okay, so we would have to tear up that agreement and
I
start again
so.
To be able to stop anyone.
Mm-hmm. I believe
so. The Australian moves, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe it's time that New Zealand did do this. When I was at the United Nations, you know, just over 2 years ago, one of the most shocking pieces of information that I heard was the Australian delegate sitting at the table saying, on any given day, there was up to 60,000 people in Australian shores that could be placed in detention. Now, if we look at that statistically, who's going to be the number one in that out of all of the people in the world? New Zealanders. Even though those amendments were made and the consideration of ties into Australia was taken from a consideration and placed to a primary point, we've still been the number one nationality in Australian detention since the amendments were made in 2014.
Because it's easy. It's easy, is it, to target New Zealanders?
We're the most vulnerable. We're the people that enter Australia without a technical protection visa. We go there, many people go to Australia without even knowing what a 444 visa means and what actually that gives them when they land on shore.
Could you explain it? Could you explain what that visa is or means?
It's an SCB, a special category visa 444, which means that we are allowed to arrive on Australian shores for resident purposes, but we are not deemed a permanent resident.
So that means there's no access to usual services. You're on your own. You're either earning a living or you're broke on the bones of your backside.
Absolutely. And that doesn't mean, you know, like allowing a pathway means that we all of a sudden go to Australia and we're going to become dole bludgers, which is what we were pegged for many years. It seems so easy for Australia's rhetoric to bring nasty, draconic names onto New Zealand and categorise us as dole bludgers and criminals and everything. But yet again, aren't they the number one country that's taking our police force? Aren't they the number one country that's taking our nurses?
Teachers.
Aren't they the number one that's taking all of our labour forces? So we're sending people over there to work, but we're not fighting enough for security and for human rights to be respected when we arrive on those shores.
Can you give me some examples that will help the listeners really sort of understand the situations people find themselves in and end up being treated in this way? New Zealanders.
Okay, so New Zealanders, I'm not sure of the year. I think it was 2019. In Melbourne alone, New Zealand youth with the highest youth of homelessness and displacement. So we had over 700 youth deemed homeless at that time. During that time, we can say that we know of at least one person that was under the age of 18 placed in detention. I can tell you that I know of at least another three that were incarcerated. One was for shoplifting a six-pack of bourbon.
Right. And that's enough to get you...
That's enough to get you placed into a detention centre. He was placed into incarcerated in a prison. At the time, he was 17. They had a transfer program between the 17 and the 18 age group where you would start doing merging into an adult prison. So he was placed in an adult detention. You know, one of the big things is the family violence. Let's not ignore that. Family violence is horrific.
Yeah.
I've been the receiving end of it myself, and I can tell you it can damage you for your lifetime. It's not a good thing. But let's not forget that family violence can occur between two people. So if one person is Australian and one person is a Kiwi, you're making that family violence unequal because the consequences are unequal. So you're going to have women who are going to be suffering because if they actually call the police on their partner, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be deported and we're going to have Australian citizens that are not doing very well.
Well, it sounds like we don't quite have the relationship we thought we had.
I don't believe we have a healthy relationship with Australia at all.
Yeah.
Not on the ground floor.
No.
I mean, like I said, 3,200 people have been deported here to New Zealand already, and we cannot deny the impact that it's having on our country alone, on our shores. We have not established enough social services to support people when they come to New Zealand. Why are we not advocating and fighting for the fact that if someone's placed in a detention centre, their superannuation should be automatically released? This allows the person to make an empowered decision on whether they're going to stay and fight the appeal or whether they're going to come back to New Zealand and have financial resources to establish themselves.
Yeah.
Let's let that allow them and empower them to get into their own rental, to buy their own house, instead of coming to New Zealand and being placed on our social welfare system and spending the next 18 months trying to navigate some sort of security for them while dealing with the loss of their family.
If this is political for an election, do things change again after that?
Oh, it was constantly changing. If we go back to when the 2014 amendments were made, it was a political move that made this decision. At that time, Australia was huge on stop the boats. And yes, they did have a lot of people landing on their boats, on their shore, sorry, not their boats. And yes, they have a right to stop that. I'm not denying Australia has the right to do sovereign things to protect their borders. What I'm saying is, should it not be upheld by human rights international rules? Should it not be upheld by the protection of the world, not just them.
Yeah, well, if who needs friends and allies when you've got that is my question. How did you get involved in this? I'm really curious.
So when I was living in Australia and residing there, my oldest daughter wanted to go to university. She had spent the majority of high school years going to an Australian school. But unfortunately, we couldn't access student loans in Australia. They're called HECSs. Because we were New Zealanders, we could only access international, and that was unaffordable. So my daughter had to relocate and leave home and leave her family and come back to Christchurch. And soon after, the Christchurch earthquakes happened. And it really started because all I really did was started finding out information and questioning why. Why was it a student loan that we were willing to pay back? It wasn't like we wanted you to pay for the education and not give our contribution, but why couldn't we access things when my daughter wanted to contribute to that country? That was her home. That was where we were going to reside for the rest of our lives.
And like you say, they get the benefit of Kiwis big time, big time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They want us to come over, but they want to afford us no protection. They want to afford us no respect. And by doing that, are they respecting us as a nation?
Well, it doesn't feel like it.
No, it doesn't.
Telling the story and what we hear.
Australia could be actually making this process a lot more humane. Why have we not established services that allow people custody of their children or even visitation? Why is New Zealand not going into the detention centres and visiting with the people there and hearing their stories? Why are we not setting up support services with people while they're in detention to get that communication and that rapport going with them so that when they land on our shores and they're invited by gangs on our shores to come into them, that they can say no? What are we doing?
We're asleep at the wheel, are we?
We're asleep at the wheel. We've been asleep at the wheel for nearly 10 years now. It's 10 years this year that those laws were amended.
Yeah.
That's thousands of people that have been brutalised inside the detention centre. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of it. The fact of the matter is the majority of the people that work inside the detention centres in Australia are New Zealanders.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Crikey.
Are New Zealanders. And last time I was on Christmas Island, I was terrified. I felt safer inside the detention centre than I did outside the detention centre, where majority of New Zealanders were very hostile, very aggressive, and very unwelcoming to myself.
How do you explain that?
Well, because as the cultural and the nationalities of who is being held within the detention centre changed, of course they needed the body structure, they needed the language, they needed to bring in our own people to deal with our own people.
Christmas Island, I thought that's just where the people on arriving and on boats were sent.
No.
Really?
No, Christmas Island, I've been there three times. It is, it's horrific. The detention centre is horrific. It is currently shut down, but it's always on contingency. So it's not shut down permanently. Christmas Island can be open within 48 hours. So it's continuously manned. It's a threat to anyone's safety and security.
Okay, well, I won't go there then. So let's say someone significant is listening and you need to give them the message, both barrels. What? How do you boil it down to the really salient points? What needs to happen? We talked about that travel agreement. I know about that.
I believe it is really important that we look through a full lens, not a lens of judgment. We can all sit down and look at our lives and know that we have not all had a perfect path. We are not all been treated equal in this world. I believe Section 501 is being racially implemented in Australia, and it is another form of white cleansing. Let's cleanse the country. If you go inside the detention centre, it is majority of Pacific Islander, Maori, or people of non-white colour that are there.
So it's racist.
I believe it's completely racist.
So
implemented.
Is that so? I mean, by extension, can we say that Australia's racist?
From the things that I've seen within Australia, I can definitely tell you stories of racism. So, yes, I believe Australia is extremely racist.
Okay. And in the meantime, we're not doing what we need to do to accommodate those who come back. There's no
We're doing very little. We're putting them into a system that is already under-resourced and got too many people utilising it. I believe that we need a completely separate system for the 501s, a structured system similar to what we offer to refugees that are coming into our country, a reintegration program. Most importantly, let's try and connect with our cultural heritage. Let's try and connect with some family ties. And let's offer compassion instead of judgment.
There's a lot of judgment.
Oh, a huge amount of judgment. A huge amount of judgment. And there are stories that are heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you of a story. We've had people deported from Australia whose children have passed away at the hands of other people. And then that person has faltered in their own life stability. And instead of support, they've been judged and kicked out. Instead of giving counselling and giving compassion, there's many horrific stories that are going on for people inside detention centres.
If people want to find out more about group Route 501, your group, what's the best way to do that? You've got a website, you've got a social media?
Currently, no, the website isn't working at the moment, but we do have the Facebook page. But what I would encourage people to actually do is to contact people that they know within Australia. To let's talk about it, because we don't talk about it. The only thing we hear about is in the media. Why are we not having conversations and actually supporting our family members? Because I believe that very soon every family in New Zealand is going to have a family member that has been affected by deportation. My challenge to New Zealand is, what if this was China? What if this was China that's held over 3,200 New Zealanders and put them through a process that is so draconic, they're in there for over 2.5 years on average, and during that time, they've had hoods on them, they've been placed in isolation, they've been denied medical care, they've not had access to their families. What if that was another country apart from Australia? What would we be doing?
Jumping up and down, probably.
So why are we allowing it to continue?
It's a very good question. Don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I believe it's monetary. I believe it's monetary, and I believe it's a political decision. Yes.
All right. Philippa Payne, Route 501 Group. Thanks for coming on RCR and explaining that.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate. To make a difference today.